Today on Made for This. If I know I'm going to fail, is it worth the risk? Hey, this whole episode might be a failure. We'll see. Let's do this! Welcome to the Made for This podcast. My name is Alex Street, and this is the show where we talk about discovering and doing what you're made for. We hope that this podcast can help you get excited about your life, that you realize you're not alone on this journey, and that you are inspired to take the next step towards doing what you're made for. We are on episode 26 now, and what better way to celebrate this quarter century mark we just passed as a major success than to talk about failure. Failure, of course, is part of any creative endeavor, whether it's starting a new project or a new business or even a new relationship. We all know that there will be points of failure along the way, or at least I hope you know. And yet the fear of failing can cripple us from ever even starting out. Maybe you have something you know you're supposed to be doing in life, and it comes to your head right now as I say it, but the fear of failing keeps you from taking that first step. Or maybe you know someone else that has failed at something recently and they need you to normalize it for them so they can keep going until tomorrow. Maybe today is the day you need to take a risk and try something, but you need to know that you're not alone. So over the next 40 minutes or so, Ben Bartosik and I will cover all kinds of questions and thoughts about failing, risk-taking, and the joy of finally doing something new. And I'll be honest, I was caught off guard and began going deeper into my story than I expected to in this conversation. I talk a lot about the last 18 months of our life as a family and the fear of failure that has hung over this whole journey. So settle in wherever you are, because it's really important to me that you like this episode. And if you don't, it's a huge failure. Here's me and Ben talking about failing.
I think, you know, we've been talking about dreams, we've talked about how to make your dream a reality, how to bring other people into your dream the last few times, and this idea that the fear of failure can often stop a dream in its tracks before it even begins. And the more that I thought about this, just how the fear of failure is really the biggest detriment at times to actually pursuing our dreams. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be interesting to get a little personal right off the bat and ask you, are you at all afraid of failure?
I'm not gonna get real here. I'm not gonna tell you my real answers. Of course, I'm afraid of failure. Yes, absolutely. It's something that I battle on in a weird way because, you know, I have ideas of things of say a podcast. Okay, so if I have an idea of a podcast, which I had, I don't know, last summer or something, 2015, and I thought I could do this thing, and then it didn't happen until the following March because it almost got going, and then there was this fear that what if I put something out there that is crap? What if I, you know, put so much time and effort into something and then it doesn't have the effect that I want it to have? And so there's this fear of doing something and then it not having the desired result, and that holds me back from really investing the time that it needs to have to put into that thing. And so this is showing up in all kinds of different ways of new ideas that I want to do, of new speaking topics, or I don't know. Even last week, two weeks ago, you and I recorded this episode, and it didn't sound good. And for the fear of putting it out there and having the result not be what I want it to be, I just pulled it and said, no, we're not doing anything, which is partly quality because I didn't think the sound was good enough. But then there was also this, well, no, I don't want to just show it. I don't want to just ship it. So I'd rather, but even that concept, I was up late Tuesday night thinking, can I, you know, give the fans nothing? Or can I not give them anything would be probably a better way to say that. And there was this anxiety that I felt of not shipping something when I have set the bar that something should show up every Wednesday.
Yeah, and like it's funny to me that, okay, so you're on this schedule of releasing a podcast every week,
right,
and we hit a week and there's nothing there, or the thing that is there is not that good.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you put out a message to everyone, blame the election, and I thought that was interesting and funny to me. But like, why not just admit it didn't work?
Yeah.
The sound sucked. We don't have a podcast this week.
Yeah.
Like, we got to find an external thing to blame instead of just admitting, yeah, it didn't work. We bombed.
Yeah. I mean, today your microphone is sitting on my backpack as a as a buffer so that it sits upright because I forgot the frickin' stand.
As we hide out in a random office in Tyndale.
Like, this is not a professional thing, or is it a professional thing? And we just, this is our standard.
Well, the millions of listeners are, I'm sure, right, just.
But no matter what, if it was two listeners, there's this fear that I'm gonna produce something, or I'm not gonna produce it on time, or I'm gonna give them something that they're not happy with, and it's this fear of giving out something that isn't good enough.
Well, and that,
whatever that means. And exactly, the blame thing is, I'd rather blame something else than blame whatever the circumstances are.
Even Donald Trump.
Well, he's easy to blame.
Easy target. But that's an interesting, I think, lead-in to the other question that I want to ask here, around the idea of our need to be successful.
Yeah.
But even before I jump into that, something you were saying kind of sparked in my mind. This idea of a finished product versus something that's sort of in work or being developed as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so this need to put out a polished, finished thing, as opposed to, okay, we got a rough cut this week. Things didn't necessarily work out as well as they could have, but here's sort of the rough version. And so it was easier to sort of come up with nothing and just blame something else than to put out this rough version that's not quite done.
You get to a point where I feel, okay, talking about me, and it's good that we're talking about the podcast here, but I feel like at the beginning, sure, the very first interview was me and my brother with no external microphone in my car in a parking lot. And since then, I've invested a whole lot of $60 in a microphone to make this thing happen, and I had a friend give me a microphone so that we can actually now have two microphones in this thing. And so in a weird way, this thing has actually, it's had an upward climb, like in quality and what it is. And I feel like then to go backwards in any way is not only a slight trip up, but actually a huge failure to where we've come, because it's a lot of work to get to this point. And then you create this expectation. And so, yeah, I'm talking about the podcast here, but I'm really talking about my life as well, where I feel like in many ways eyes are on me. And, you know, a year and a half ago, I left a comfortable and amazing job at our church for something else that we didn't know what it was. And I feel like there's eyes, there's people watching us, and I have the possibility of failing at this. And as I grow, there's sort of this, okay, so we started at nothing. And then over the months, now almost a year later from that fall, like, we've grown in these ways progressively. And I feel like if we were to go back in any way, it's not just back a step, it's almost complete failure.
So that's interesting, to kind of pull it to this move in your life of leaving a job. And at the time, there was this whole like leap of faith thing that was going on. It was like, I'm stepping out into nothing. And it was like this huge, woohoo! Yeah, this is amazing. And people surrounded you in that.
Everyone's so now, standing on the edge of the cliff, cheering me on, maybe pushing me.
So a year and a half later,
now
do you feel like I should have succeeded? There should be something here by now that isn't, or if there is, it has to be of a certain caliber.
It's been having to go through this and redefine the win as we go. I think, you know, I don't even know what success would be at this point. I didn't know what it was then, and I don't know what it is now. It's there's some kind of moving target. And so when we took a leap of faith, that was the success. The success was, whoa, we just made a huge decision in our life.
Yeah.
As a family, and we're okay with this. And we're not only okay with it, but we're excited about it. And as we've gone through this now, and that's what I mean, like we've grown as a family, we've progressed as a family in our rhythm and our schedule and our awareness of God in this world and our roles in this world. And my wife and I each sort of trying to start our own business in a way. And I have a new job with Youth Unlimited. And like, there's all these things that have grown and changed that I didn't expect last July. So to say, was it a success or like, I don't know what,
yeah.
That even your question?
Well, no, I think it's just, it's interesting to me that as time passes and the way, you know, we look at something back then and I'd be interested if there's this feeling like you had this platform and you know, you spoke on a semi-regular basis to these people, you had this, you know, at this youth ministry. And then you step out of that. And I think the narrative of our culture is that if you leave something, you're leaving for more. Like you should be stepping into a bigger audience, a larger platform. And so that, okay, you're gonna start a podcast and you know, that more people potentially might be listening to you and you're expanding your platform. And is there something to, you know, did that dream come to fruition or is it still in process or is that not the narrative at all?
And I think the success came from making that intentional decision to jump and be okay with that. Anything after that has been steps along the way on the journey.
Over the last year and a half is the deliberate moves that you've made to be intentional with family and coming out of you know, a job that had a lot of strain on family, you know, youth ministry, you had a lot of evenings, a lot of weekends, and you're trying to raise three kids in that and be a husband. And what I've seen you do is deliberately make time for family.
Right.
Again, such a countercultural narrative to what success looks like. You leave this platform and everyone's like, oh, you're going to go speak to an even bigger platform. And in reality, you wanted to focus on a smaller platform. It's like, I want to spend my time and energy investing in the most important but small platform that there is.
Well, I appreciate that, that also encouragement, 'cause that's true, completely true, is realizing that I only have a certain amount of time with these people and it's worth every minute that I can give to them. And so the idea is there, though. I know it's there, and this is the nagging, the knocking of success. You know, it's almost like there's opportunity continues to knock in the background, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, I get it, you're there. If I really put 100% of my effort into this, then I believe that I could have reached this ethereal goal a year ago. If I didn't jump into doing school full time, and if I didn't explore for another, you know, part time job or whatever that is, if I didn't take another, if I could have just taken every opportunity and kind of been there, but then that would have been at the expense of the relational growth that we've experienced in our family. And so and that's still there, is sort of this, if you put everything, all of your energy into this one thing, maybe it could happen. But I'm choosing to fail at that.
Yeah.
I suppose. Which is a strange thing to say, because I'm choosing to slowly build a bunch of things. Schooling, that's going to take another year still. My family, for sure, that's never going to be complete, but we've made huge strides. And then whatever this is, podcast made for this, Alex Street, who knows what this is, but it's slowly building. And I think, as you say, by some standards, you still haven't made it? Man, that's too bad.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, it just struck me as interesting as you were speaking, talking about that. And like even watching, like going to school, like it's flexing new muscles. It's, it's, you know, you work somewhere for a decade and you get good at things and it becomes easy to do those things.
Yeah.
And so we want to talk about stepping out and the fear of failure and trying new stuff. Like that's what your past year and a half has been. Trying new things, things that you're not natural and normal because they haven't been the last decade.
Yeah. You know, one thing that comes through my mind as well is this idea that, should I, instead of just going for the next hot thing or whatever it is that I'm doing, I have these balls that I'm juggling, trying to manage all these things. Should I focus on one thing and make sure that I succeed at that? That's more of another generation's culture, older than us, would say, no, you land in a job and you do that for 40 years, you retire and you get your kids safe, good education. And what I'm finding about us and really the generation below us is, no way, man, I'm going to try new things. And so I battle with that too. Is this a good example? Is this a bad example? Is this encouraging people to make money and get a job and have a home and a good family? Or what example now am I setting in this life right now? And so I guess there's a fear of, as I say at the beginning, sort of putting something out there that I'm not sure is the best thing for people to see or have. Am I providing a good picture
of
what it means to work?
There's an element of, you know, you're a youth pastor and then you get to a place where you're not going to be a youth pastor anymore.
Right.
So what does that mean? What does that look like? And now it's having to test different things and you're in this awesome season of, it's like starting again. And that is a scary thing for people. And I think this is where the fear of failure comes in is, you're doing a podcast and does it always work? Not always. We make an episode and it doesn't work. But that's okay, because rather than the polished, finished product, this whole thing is an in-process movement towards whatever's coming down the road.
And I guess that's such that must be then a healthy way also to look at this life, is I don't have a polished, finished life to present to people.
Yeah,
I never will. I assume I'll die earlier than I want to. Whenever that is, there will always be some way that I could have wrapped up another loose end or something. There will never be a perfect finished product of my life. Therefore, whatever you're seeing is always going to be a thing in process.
So let's take this to that idea of success and versus the unfinished in process thing. Why is it that, I mean, maybe it's our generation, maybe this is just cultural and everything, why do we always feel we need to be successful? What's this mentality that speaks to, we have to have it figured, when we put something out it's gotta be perfect? Where does that come from?
It must be learned early on. Right? Like there's something about the way that kids are in school and what their expectations are from a really early age.
Maybe you can do anything you want.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that. The go get 'em princess and be a princess and you can do it. But then on the other side, they find out that there's a standard that they have to live up to. So if I get my daughter got 60% on a math test in grade 5 and that was her lowest mark yet, and it hurt and it was hard to deal with, and I was like, well, what does it matter? It's only because, you know, she's got 60%, but this is a learning point. It's supposed to be a learning point. Okay, so you didn't know these things, so let's work on those things.
Because if there's ever a thing that's in process, it's someone in grade 5.
I know, exactly. So if that, if she's living and dying by a 60% mark on a math test, there's something wrong with our system where she feels like she should have got a 90 because her friends have math tutors and they all go through it super easy, but she doesn't, and she doesn't have a math mind because neither of we do, neither of us do. We don't have English minds either. And so she has this standard for herself that she set, according to what other people are living by, that she has to meet this grade. And if she didn't meet that grade, then she hasn't succeeded. And so the fear then going into the next math test is, I don't want to do this test because I might fail.
So would you say a lot of it comes from an inability to view failure as a part of the learning process?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, is you're not learning from your failures. You're graded by your failures. I don't know if that makes sense. So they're a stopping point rather than a learning point. And I don't know if that's taught in the school system. I don't know if that's encouraged. I know that in our home that's encouraged, and we try to, you know, we try to say things like, if you got 18 out of 20, it's like, wow, you worked really hard on this. Way to go. You must have worked really hard on this. Like, rather than, great job, you got all the answers right.
Right.
We trying to celebrate the effort put into it.
Yeah.
And, oh, and the, again, coming back to that 60% was a, okay, so what do we know we need to work on?
Yeah.
We need to work on your times tables. And so let's do those a little bit. So now I know we're talking about elementary school grading here, but I think that's put into our minds then, and then that just is,
yeah, but
it just grows as we grow, right?
It's the same principle in kind of art or the creative world. You want to paint a painting, and you know, we've talked about this before, you're terrified to show people, and then you show people and it, people don't like it, like that failure. Well, first of all, if you're beginning the journey of painting, why do you expect the Picasso level of appreciation on the first try?
Or quality. Yeah. Like, you're probably not going to be that good at it right away. But if you are passionate about it, keep doing it. And you may at some point get better. But that level of success, right, is absurd. And it's unfair. We treat ourselves unfairly, I think, by holding ourselves to a measure of success that's unattainable at the beginning.
So kind of to quickly jump back into your journey and stem off that, would you see kind of this fresh start as a freeing place to be from that angle, to recognize that, yeah, I'm kind of starting again. I have the ability to learn and to fail and to learn from those failures.
Yeah, and it's exciting in that sense, but that takes some mental work to get to that place. Because coming back to the cultural norm, I was in a good place. And I was doing well there and felt like I had a good amount of influence and loved the people there, and they loved me and all kinds of that stuff. And so there was only like room to grow.
Right.
In that setting. So it wasn't like that wasn't available to me in that sense. What this has been is exactly, it's more of a fresh, whoa, never experienced that before. Let's go for it. Rather than that sounds like a cool idea, but I don't have the time or the capacity to engage in it. This, all that this did was say, yeah, now I can explore that. And there, to be honest, there's been things that I've thought, wow, I really want to explore that. And as I've got into it, I said, no, this isn't the right time for that. That would be a terrible distraction and would be way off course.
So in that journey and kind of focusing on the last year and a half, has there been a moment, a particular failure that you've learned from?
Yeah. There's a couple that come to mind. So, and they're both kind of schedule wise was being was unfairly setting up the schedule to come. And so last fall I jumped into school full time, and I hadn't done school for 7 years, and then I thought, I'll do a master's, that'll be no problem. So going into that, the first couple weeks were easy as anything. And then the assignments started and it blew my mind. I had no idea what I was doing. And we got to the end of October and I felt like life was falling apart completely. And I did two or three retreats. I was speaking at youth retreats in that time as well. So there was extra work, and it all just came down to this: what am I doing? I'm too confident. I'm too cocky in this kind of thing. And so we actually went away for a week after that, and it was a great moment to rest, to chill out, and just be like, okay, one thing at a time. So that was really interesting. That was kind of the start of the journey, I guess. And then even this past summer, I just fully went into it and got into the busiest speaking schedule I've ever had in my life, and spoke at five camps daily for 5 weeks, and then a bunch of other retreats and churches in the middle of that. It was about 8 weeks in which our family was together for only two of them. And got to the end of that and said, that was fun and a good experience, but way too much and not healthy for us. So I don't know. But at the beginning of both of those, there's kind of I'm just going to try something new.
It strikes me that you're measuring success differently. So the speaking gigs may have been great.
They were fantastic experiences. Like, each camp was unique and beautiful, and I love the people and the kids and the life change that I saw happen. Absolutely.
So what was the failure?
Being away from my family.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's
for just such a long time.
That's such a different approach to success and failure than I think a lot of people look at it. But so important that even in our art, and a lot of the reason we wanted to do these in between podcast episodes were to ask questions around community building.
Yeah.
And this really gets to the fact that your dreams are not just about you, that you can pursue something doggedly, but that has ripple effect consequences on the people around you. And so I got to ask, like, what's your wife's perspective in those times?
I'll get to that in a second, because I think you mentioned community, right? Like, it wasn't just my family that I missed, but it was my friends and my home church. And, like, I just wasn't present with any of those relationships for such a long time that for sure it was my family the most, my precious few, but it was beyond that. It was my community around me that was hard to stick with. And so you ask, what was my wife's perspective? What did Karen think? She was cheering me on the whole way. You do this. This is great. It's fantastic. We'll set it up. We'll be fine this week. It's okay. The kids are at camp. We're fine. Whatever all it was, there was a cheering on aspect. And yet we didn't feel right until, August, when we were back together again. There's an element of go do it. It's fantastic. And I love seeing you thrive, but we feel this. And
when people talk about success and failure, it's usually based on that product.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
And I feel like that's coming back to the point before where it's like, it's that opportunity knocking. That's what I believe. And if I really wanted to be a speaker, a public speaker, motivational speaker, making a lot of money at this, if I really wanted to do that, I believe that I could go and make that happen. A mixture of whatever skill, talent, and then just working on the actual networking and business of it all, that it could happen. I don't have all of that right now, but I could have.
Right.
But again, at the expense of this thing. So if that's my dream, to be at a conference with thousands of people, whatever, well, sure, I could go pursue that dream, but I'll be alone.
Yeah.
If that balloon is floating away, I'm the only one holding on to it. Like, there's nobody else with me. And what's the point? Then who's going to celebrate with me?
That's interesting in terms of looking at failure as a learning process.
Yeah.
Just how much you've learned almost through succeeding, but in failing in other ways. And I think that is a, a worthwhile thing to keep in mind when we talk about pursuing our dreams and exploring our gifts. What are we measuring as success and what are we measuring as failure? And how do we view both as a learning process for our lives, not just for our craft?
Author Jeff Goins says, talks about practicing in public. So like blogging, like a lot of writers who want to be a writer and publish their book, he's like, well, you got to go practice and start a blog, go practice in public, just develop as you go. And I love that idea because there is this, with practice, there is this expectation of failure. You're going to take 30 shots into that basket, into that hoop and miss a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But you're going to develop in that skill. And so same thing with a blog post or same thing with a podcast, same thing with whatever you're doing, your life, you're practicing in public. I keep thinking about that with parenting. I get like my kids just keep growing up. I don't get a 3-year-old again. So, and this whole thing, I haven't known what I've been doing. None of us have. We've just been practicing as we go.
Talk about an audience too. Your kids are the ones watching you practice on them.
Yeah, right. And they just keep asking for food.
But I like it's so. I mean, kind of my last major question here stems off of this idea of practice, and I think that's a really good way of framing it. Like, how can we start to see failure as a normal and helpful part of life, and really starting to look at maybe it's all practice.
Look at it like this. Like, yeah, I'm practicing today for my big day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, what's tomorrow? It's, I don't know. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's a big day. Huh. And then tomorrow I get into it and be like, yeah, I'm practicing today for tomorrow. So, like, whatever I do, whatever I can form in my life today, and whatever I fail at and everything, it is all a learning thing for tomorrow. And then tomorrow, if I still fail at the same thing, okay. And then you're practicing for the next day, for Thursday. And exactly, what if we looked at this as practice mode? I think we would take a lot of pressure off of ourselves.
Yeah.
And off of each other. And we would allow for the mistakes.
Well, it's going back to your daughter in grade 5 stressing out about a math test. Like, it's practice. Like, this doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but then it begs the question, really, what does? And so how do you begin to view all of these things as just practicing?
I love, like, coming back when I interviewed Jesse James, I think it was episode 4, and he was like working to become a lawyer and like was practicing or studying for his LSATs, which is like this massive test. So you talk about a test. Well, yeah, the grade 5 math test, whatever, you're just practicing. But what about this massive test that you have? And it's like, well, that's not practice anymore. That's real life because that's your career now. And then he missed the test and he didn't take the test. And then he went into this whole other way of life of working with youth now and not being a lawyer, but still caring about those policies and everything and shifting his community in a certain way because all of that work that he took to become a lawyer was just practice for what he's doing now. Like, there's this
that's beautiful
embracing the accidents and the failures.
So rather than seeing I failed to become a lawyer, that the things that I laid down and learned through that process prepared me for something else. Yeah. And so how do we live our lives in such a way that everything is just formative? Everything is just learning and piecing together because down the road, that may be useful.
Yeah. Even tragedy, right? Like the biggest tragedies that we experience in life. These are the, like, I'm thinking of these things as you say it, and it sounds really positive and great.
Right.
With the great things that happen in life.
Yeah.
But then there are these earth-shattering moments that you go through and you just wonder, well, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this practice for? You're just pissed off at everything. And it's reforming your brain to see this sucks. This might be the worst that you experience.
Yeah.
And then there's tomorrow. And so what do you take from today into tomorrow? And of course, I speak from largely my own experience going through two parental deaths in in 2 years and seeing, okay, what is this? What do I do with this? What's happening tomorrow? And yeah. I don't know what to do with that except to say, when you're in it, there is no formula that you can follow.
Right.
It feels like practice.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with parenting. It just feels like practice. And so let's go for it.
And I think that's the, people get to these hopeless places because it becomes final. It becomes definitive for them.
Yeah.
And it's like you stop thinking about tomorrow, and you get so focused on today, and today feels terrible. Today is misery. Today sucks. I mean, maybe this practice mentality can help us lift our eyes beyond today. I love that concept that you say, it's practice for tomorrow. Like in the midst of, you know, I think of, you know, people struggling through school or going through a difficult time in a relationship, or as a parent and things feel hopeless with your kids.
Yeah.
Don't view it as definitive, just today. That struggling through today is about working to tomorrow.
Rob Bell says despair is a spiritual condition in which you believe that tomorrow cannot be any different from today.
Huh.
And that's it. You get sucked into despair. And so, yeah, we fear to come back. We fear failure because we see failure as some kind of an endpoint.
Yeah.
Instead of a starting point.
Yeah. And if we can reclaim this idea that all of life's experiences are formative, they're all things to learn from, they're all growth points leading to tomorrow, maybe we can infuse a little bit of hope into our lives instead of viewing it as today sucks. This is the end.
Yeah.
So if we can reclaim failure as learning and then start to view every opportunity for that as a positive risk experience, what do you have to say to people in that moment? People who are at a place where they're looking out and the fear of failure is in front of them, and they're, okay, how can I begin to see this as a risk to learn something? What do you want to say?
The biggest thing is recognizing that you're not alone. I think part of that whole, that position, that person standing on the edge of that thing, they feel like, I'm doing this and I'm jumping out of this plane alone. And then when you're flying, you're floating down to the ground, you look around, you realize that six other people jumped with you. And if your chute doesn't work, it's okay, because they're going to hold you. Like, that's everything that we've been talking about so far, right? Is you can jump, you can do this, because it's not just you. We're with you. And if it's right, then, and if now is the right time to do this, then do it. And take a leap, have some conversations about this amazing new thing, maybe doing this thing that you know you're made to do but haven't taken a step towards in years, and do it. Because who knows what tomorrow has to bring?
If we can think about it differently, it doesn't need to be such a scary thing. And instead to view risk as this opportunity to learn. And, you know, you may bomb that math test. You may make a terrible painting. You may start a business and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's not the end.
No, there's good news, right? This is the good news. This is echoed in my head for years, is that the good news is that tomorrow doesn't have to be like today. So whatever happened today, whatever has absolutely rocked your world today and knocked you down and is so painful and you have no idea what to deal with or what to do with it, tomorrow doesn't have to be like this. That's the good news of the gospel. That's Jesus rising from the dead. That's everything. That is resurrection life. That brings it all in to this whole idea of, it's okay. Death is only the beginning.
Yeah.
Pain, failure, it's only the beginning. And the good news is it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Good stuff. Thanks, Ben. wonder if the fear of failing in some way is keeping you from trying something new. So you just keep doing the same comfortable thing in your life, even though you know you're made for more. One of the biggest fears in the made for this conversation that I've heard from people is that you believe you have something you're made for, but you're afraid to pursue the wrong thing. And sure, it's a possibility, but how are you going to know until you do something? So go out, because today matters. And any moments of failure today are in fact moments to learn so tomorrow can be even better. Go, take a risk, and discover and do what you're made for. Until next time, be good, everybody. What if we looked at this as practice mode? I think we would take a lot of pressure off of ourselves. Yeah. And off of each other.